Welcome back to the FMV Sequence, a podcast that explores video game movie adaptations. My name is Jordan Pritchard.
And I'm Ben Anderson. It seems like you struggled with that a bit there.
Video
game movie adaptations.
Well, I was trying to think of how I wanted to clarify it because, like, the topic today isn't really a movie, and it's also, we've been really liberal with our video game adaptations lately, and it's kind of been like a back and forth situation, so.
Oh, you're changing stuff on me. I was waiting for your little and their counterparts, like tag you always do. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it sounds goofy, and I don't know. I don't know what I want
to
do yet.
I've grown to like it. I've grown to expect it. Now I don't know what to do now that I don't have it.
we've been doing this podcast for almost a year, and I still don't know if I like the way I keep doing things. So I'm just like, am I doing it right? Validation.
I mean, I feel like you know, it's good to switch things up a year in. You know,
exactly. Like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, we're talking today about the new Netflix TV show, Resident Evil. A teaser trailer dropped. What was it, this
Two
week?
Two teaser trailers dropped.
Yeah, was it this week or last week? I don't remember.
Yeah,
already.
I think so. I think I texted you. Like, I texted you the morning I saw it, and I assumed you had already seen it.
No, I kind of forgot it existed. I kind of, see, the thing is, there's been so much Resident Evil shit lately.
Yeah, I was going to say, it dropped Thursday, so very, very recent.
Okay. Because I get that confused, because they just had, last year, they had the CGI show that I never watched. Mm. They also released the brand new movie last year that we were going to cover and then still haven't yet. We haven't gotten around to it.
Nah.
I don't know why we're dragging our feet. Probably because there's like seven other Resident Evil movies that we still have to cover as well.
Yeah, that, and I remember we were talked about it and you were like, this looks terrible.
It does. It did.
And you just were, I just don't think you were ready to watch it at the time.
No.
Didn't Netflix also have like an anime that they did too?
It was CGI.
Was it CGI?
Anime.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in the same vein as like the CGI movies they had, because there's three different CGI movies. So it's, I think it's similar to that. I don't know where it falls in it. Right now, Capcom and Resident Evil are just as like all over the place as like the like DC comics is with their movies, where it's just like they're connected but they're not connected, but they're in the same umbrella.
Nice one.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, like I look at where their games are at now and then I look at that trailer and like they're two completely different things to me, because like Resident Evil 7 and 8 look and feel and sound nothing like what we just watched in like the early movies and stuff like that. Like, it just doesn't even feel like the same franchise anymore.
Well, I mean, it felt like that with the other movies too, because the other movies after the two that we've watched, like, those are the closest that they ever got to the actual games. And then from then on, everything was post-apocalyptic, like, which was never what happened in Resident Evil, because in Resident Evil, it was always, like, resolved and saved, and it was like, yeah, we lost the city, but we didn't lose everything else.
Yeah.
And so this was like, not only could we not save the city, but we lost the world. And that's kind of what this show looks like it's going to be doing, too.
100%.
So I didn't know there was two trailers until earlier today, when I was like, I should probably rewatch this before we talk about it. So I rewatched the first one, and that first one, I think we both agreed, looks terrible. Like, yeah. It looks really bad. I mean, I'm stoked for Lance Reddick. I like him. He's cool. I don't recognize anybody else. I thought it was weird that like it starts off going, Billy, Jade, this is Umbrella or whatever. I thought that was weird. But then the second trailer actually does look kind of cool. It looks like
a little CGI bear.
Bear. I saw dogs.
Is that a bear? I thought that was like the little cute animated bear.
Oh, the animated bear. Yeah. Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
I guess we should say it because it's all animated. I guess I should clarify. It was an animated hologram of a teddy bear.
Yes, that was weird. I didn't know what that's about. I don't know if I'm stoked for that part. Unless it's like really funny. Like if it's like,
I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll see.
I guarantee you this is exactly what's going to happen. Is that, so they're having that pitch meeting with that bear, right? And then at some point they're going to stumble back into the lab years later, and then they're going to get a jump scare with that bear, and they're going to do the bump, and it's going to start singing its little song and doing its little happy dance while creepy, eerie music happens in the background. That's all it's going to be.
All right.
I'm calling that shot right now.
Okay. I mean, that sounds cool, I guess. I thought that it was interesting that it actually does show a lot of creatures from the games that never really got into depth in the other movies, because I don't know what Paul W.S. Anderson was doing when it came to the creatures in all the other movies, because he really liked the mouth mandibles from, like, the Las Plagas line from 4 on. But this has, like, the giant spiders, which are in 1. It's got, it looks like a giant caterpillar, which look kind of cool.
Yeah, demon dogs.
We got the dogs. We got the lickers. We got the zombies.
Do you like the zombies look in this?
I mean, they just look like generic zombies.
Yeah, I mean, they look better than some of the other movies, at least. Like, I thought they looked pretty okay.
Yeah, I would say it's on par. It looks like every other. There's nothing about these zombies that kind of stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, though, they kind of make the zombies an actual force to be reckoned with, though, rather than just the now tired trope of zombies, which is humans are the true monsters.
Yeah, I feel like Walking Dead really beat that into the ground.
Yeah, I really, it was such a roller coaster, like, thinking, whoa, a new take on zombies. This is so cool and interesting. And then to be beat in the face with it for, like, a decade, and then you're just like, I can't do this anymore.
Looking back into that, do you think that The Walking Dead was the start of the zombie, like, craze?
Like, renaissance?
Of the renaissance of it. Because that started, like, because that show started, like, what, 09, like, 2010 or something like that?
I think it was probably the crown, or maybe the, probably the slope, to be honest, where it starts coming back down. Because if you think of, like, the buildup, you have Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake that gets a bunch of good press. You got 28 Days Later that does a lot of good. Shaun of the Dead, like a bunch of really decent zombie movies in the early 2000s that really build up, and then 2009 they take on this really popular zombie comic. And
because I don't think it's the start of the descent, I think that, you know, The Walking Dead was part of that rise. It was not at the peak. I think it still kind of helped push it back. But then you started getting movies like, what was the movie, Warm Bodies, that movie. There were a couple other ones that were very, like, really trying to twist it on, like, the whole teen romance thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, like, there were shit zombie movies before that, though. I mean, there's like Zombie Strippers. After Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, they did a Day of the Dead that has Nick Cannon in it. That's just abysmal.
Wasn't there a Dead Rising movie too?
Yeah. Good luck finding it. Like, that shit got buried so fast. And that was alongside the Dead Rising 3 game that was a Xbox One exclusive, which was wild for that to happen. But, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just more zombie shit at this point. And with Resident Evil, I'm starting to get kind of burnt out. There's already a bajillion movies. They can't seem to make a story that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And again, this could just be generic zombie anything, but it's got Umbrella and Resident Evil logo slapped on it.
That's what I was thinking about. I was like, why does this need to be Resident Evil? Like, what about the Resident Evil story makes this compelling? Because I feel like you could just put your energy and resources into making a decent, like, original zombie flick. But I think it's one of those things where, like, they're trying to sap up IPs. And I think that's just what they have right now.
Well, so, and that sounds like a Netflix thing right now anyway, with as much kind of shit that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
With their, you know, there's talk of in the future there's going to be ads on Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's a big negative. We got the crackdown on sharing the app and the passwords. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be looking at your IP address to see if you're watching it within the same domicile.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Like, there's a bunch of, and also they just keep making, like, worse and worse content. So it's harder to, like, justify. It's for me, right now, it's like Stranger Things is the only thing that they make. That and Black Mirror. It's like the only two things.
Mm.
And Love, Death, and Robots. I kind of forgot that exists.
I mean, The Witcher's there too. I mean, they have some decent originals. Like, I think their show.
Witcher's all right, but it's not the account open for.
I mean, I would. Or at least I would open it back up as soon as it comes out, watch, and then another thing. I mean, I think that's the other thing that they're going to start killing, is that their release all at once method is now, I think, going to come back to start biting them in the butt. You know, most other streaming services nowadays, like HBO, has been doing this forever. Amazon does a 50-50, same with Hulu. Like, they don't release the full season anymore. They're back to doing it like a week at a time. Like, I know Amazon, it'll release like the first three episodes to get you hooked, and then it releases the season. I think they might find that they might start doing that a little bit more to kind of keep people engaged. But well, I was going to say something else about streaming too. Somebody pointed this out, that they think that the next like wave of like video game, like movie, TV content is about to start hitting its all-time high, because now all of these streaming services are trying to tap into nostalgia, and instead of going to old like movie and TV IPs, they're going to start going to video game IPs. Because if you look at it, every single streaming service has at least two or three video game related shows either currently out or in development.
Yeah,
and I think we're about to see some pretty hopefully interesting stuff. You know, I don't have a whole lot of faith for this show, to be honest. I mean, I feel like we'll watch it and I'll be down, but like, because I will say the one thing about this that it seems to be doing is that it seems to be like not heavily relying on the audience knowing a whole lot of this stuff. It seems like they're trying to kind of come at this from you not knowing what all this stuff is, which might be interesting. It could also be really bad, but you know, there are other services, like, you know, HBO is gonna have, or is it HBO or Amazon that has The Last of Us?
I think that is, that's a good question now that you ask.
I think it's one of the two.
I think it's HBO.
Mm-hmm.
That feels more right.
Yeah. If it's HBO, then I'm like, especially with that story, I'm like, there's no way, like, I say that. There is a way they can fuck that up, but, like, it'd be very hard for them to mess that up. Like, I have a feeling that's going to be pretty good just on its own.
Well, I think they got, what's his name? The creator guy. I used to remember his name. I can't remember it now. Brain don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's so heavily involved, like, not like George R.R. Martin was, where it was just like, George, do you like this concept? And it's like, yeah, sure, you're making me money. Yeah. I don't know what his voice sounds like.
I think you nailed it.
But this guy, like, he's an auteur. He's like, This is my vision. So, you know, don't fuck it up or there won't be a season two, because I won't let it. So.
Well, that and, like, the games already lend themselves to this kind of translation of the story anyways. Like, those games are already so cinematic. I think it's just one of those things where, like, how do you condense the story and how do you split it up? Like, do you tell the first game in the first season? I hope not, but, you know, who knows? But, like, I still think, like, that show, that game is so visually, like, cinematic. Like, they can transfer over pretty well. That's why I think it's a pretty smart IP to start with.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see, because, I mean, it's the same game developers that made Uncharted, and somehow they made an okay 2-hour long picture.
Yeah.
So how's this multi-hour experience going to be? Like, how much are they just going to, like, drag it along, and how much are they going to actually have, like, I'm fully invested in this?
Yeah.
I was just thinking just a second ago while you were talking about some of, like, the video game properties, how I just kind of caught myself in a double standard of sorts, where it's like thinking, like, talking about, like, when we talked about Halo, the Halo show, and how we're like, man, this, like, this fucking sucks because they're, like, not following a lot of, like, the main story plots or the story beats or just, like, the core thematics of Halo, especially recently, where I guess Master Chief finally got laid.
Yeah, which, you know, yeah.
I don't know, whatever, who cares?
You can tell that we did not continue watching that show.
Yeah, I just keep getting, like, my Twitter is just same. Like, every time something happens, they're just like, guess what Halo did this week? And it's like, I don't know, something stupid.
Did we bring, like, up the, well, we really have to quickly bring up for the fact, because, like, they've been fucking with the whole him not wearing the helmet thing at all, and didn't he, like, he wore the helmet, and then he took the helmet off to drive a warthog.
No. It was the other way around. Okay. It shows him, like I watched the clip. He's like, it's like a suit up thing where he's getting all ready, and then the last part is him dramatically putting the helmet on, and then it immediately cuts to him driving a warthog through a forest. And as soon as he parks, he gets out of the warthog and takes his helmet off. And so it's just like, did you just not want to get, like, bugs in your teeth or something, my guy? Like. Why'd you even have a helmet on?
Oh my god, that shit.
Yeah, but then the reason I caught myself in this double standard was because I was about to say that this whole Resident Evil storyline is very much a, like, Rey Skywalker situation, where it's just throwing the big important names on there, so then you can just be like, see, this is important because, you know, it's a solo or it's a Skywalker. It's important.
Yeah.
But at the same time, were like, well, stop using these main characters and these main stories and just tell new original stuff. Mm-hmm. Stop being like, the only reason you're strong in the Force is because you're a Palpatine. Or the only reason that this works as you being a hero is because you're related to one of the original main heroes. Mm-hmm. And but then this is like, here's a bunch of new characters. They're tied to it because of Umbrella. And you, there's no Leon or Chris or Jill or anything. So have fun with it. And then we're over here like, this is going to be shit because there's no video game characters in this. So I don't know. I think I'm just starting to catch myself in these double standards.
I think it, for me, it's like a case-by-case basis almost, you know? Like, there are some, like, worlds where you can get away with that. There are others where I think you have to tell the stories of these characters. You can tell new stories with these characters, but, like, you still have to use this. I think it just kind of depends on what you're talking about. Like, Halo, I don't know. Like, I don't think they would have had a great job doing, like, an original story if they had just done, like, other, like, Spartans and stuff like that. I think, like, that franchise...
I disagree. I mean,
if I know, I think you could. I just don't think that they could do that.
It would just be like a Clone Wars thing, where it would be like, you have the two points in time. That's why Clone Wars works, is because there's two definite ends of the spectrum, and they can just have anything happen between those
two. Well, yeah, that's true, but they also, like, use the main characters all the time. Now, they go off and diverge, but, like... Well, so, like, with Halo, specifically, for, like, a TV show, for a network to take a gamble on it, like, they were, like... They could, like, you can easily tell, like, that's, like, Halo Reach proved that you can tell, like, fascinating, like, intricate, like, or not intricate, like, interesting stories in the Halo universe and not use Master Chief. But I think, like, for a studio executives to sign off on something Halo, like, there was no way they were going to be able to do something without Master Chief in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they could do it going forward, but...
Well, I'm going to disagree again, just because, like, there were some points when I've read books, Halo books, that didn't have Master Chief in them. And there are games that don't have Master Chief in them, like the Halo Wars. And it's like different Spartans having their own battles and stories, and all it does is just flesh out the world. So they could have done it. And honestly, if they would have done it, there probably wouldn't have been so much bullshit of like, oh, well, this guy's getting laid, or, you know, this Spartan keeps taking their helmet off. If they would have done other Spartans and shit, it would not have mattered.
I agree with you. I don't think they agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel the exact same way you do. I'm just saying that in order for them to sell, to greenlight a Halo project, like, there was no way people weren't going to sign off unless Master Chief was in it. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, at that point, just have him, like, be in the first episode and the last episode, then. Just, like...
Again, I agree with you.
I just don't understand business people.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, that's just the way that shit works. Like, there was no way, like, that project was going to get off the
ground otherwise. I really want to know how business people think. Like, we should have gone to business school, because I don't understand how you can not recognize your audience. And... Maybe that is, like, the media part of us, where we're, like, our whole thing is learning how, like, what our audience, like, listens to and or reads, or, you know, like, the things that they consume and what they want to come back to.
Yeah.
So we're, like, yeah, if you're going to tell a story with these situations, then you're going to want your audience to enjoy it. And then the suits are, like, well, I mean, this green guy is on every fucking box, so why is he not in there?
So what they're doing is, like... You know, for us, like, you know, we understand the media, but we also, like, as, like, consumers of, like, content, like, we want to be catered to, and, like, you know, odds are these people can make a much better show if they kind of cater towards the people who actually give a shit about this, and not necessarily just the hardcore fans, but, like, make it a little bit more niche and interesting and, like, trust your audience. But the problem is, like... The studio executives are going to be like, all right, how are we going to sell this to the lowest common denominator? Because we don't need to get, like, a strong base. We need to get this in front of as many people as possible. And so their thought process probably is like, well, people only recognize the green guy. People only really know the green guy. Like, that's all they care about. That's what we need to put the image in front of. We want him on all the posters. We want him in all the trailers. We want him in all the toys or whatever the fuck. So, like, that's how we're going to do this. Like, so that's how that works. It's like they're shooting for the lowest common denominator because that's the most amount. And so it doesn't make sense, and it's dumb, and you get worse products out that way. But that's just how that shit works, which is dumb.
It is dumb because... You could definitely, if you're trying to get the broader sense and not the niche, then you shouldn't be going for the iconic character. You should be creating something for more people to adapt to. Because I was thinking, like, it'd be cool if it was like...
Well, that's what Mortal Kombat did, right? They created a new character as, like, the audience surrogate.
Right. And but the problem with that is that there's already so many characters on the roster of Mortal Kombat that most people, not only just like their favorites, but a lot of people are represented or like have like, I don't know, kind of like a surrogate within the medium itself already. Mm-hmm. And so to have a non-character like that come in, it's like, but we already have a character like that, like that can cover that whatever need. Mm-hmm. And so all that does is, because it's not even a complicated story anyway. Like, no. We don't need a surrogate to cover it for us to be like, wait, what's a Mortal Kombat tournament? Because you can just have Liu Kang be like,
yeah.
What's the Mortal Kombat tournament?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense, but like that's what that represented. Man.
Yeah, so like, because I was saying, like, wouldn't it be a cooler story if it was like an ODST that had just started their training or like, you know, gotten to the, you know, out of training, and then they get into a big battle and then they like meet a Spartan and like they have to like team up with the Spartan.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the new dynamic now, is it's like kind of like a buddy cop thing, but like one's like a badass soldier and the other one's like a badass cyborg. And
yeah. No, I 100% agree with you, because I think the problem with doing it, like the problem with Master Chief in a series or a movie is that, so Master Chief is supposed to be the best of the best, the most badass person out there. And when you play as him in the games, you get that, like, that translates, because you're fucking OP, you're murdering everybody in sight, like, you know, you can run through levels, like, you can do all this cool shit. But when you can't do that, that's not interesting to watch as your main character in a movie or TV show. So they have to, like, dumb him down a bit. They have to pull him back a little bit. And I think what would have been much more interesting, which I think Forward Unto Dawn did a little bit, is they used Chief as this like mythic like character, almost this like mythical like thing where like he almost doesn't exist, like they hold him in such reverence that, and when he finally does show up, they're like, oh my god, that's Master Chief, and he comes and he saves the day. I think doing what you're talking about and having Master Chief come in as a sort of that kind of thing, where he's like, oh my god, it's the Master Chief, and he comes and saves the day, or you have to go help, like something like that, like that would have been way more interesting, because you still could have kept like the reverence that Master Chief has, and then still done an interesting story in Halo.
It's funny because, I mean, I like how we switched over to Halo.
I'm sorry, that's my
no,
fault.
It's actually, I'm pretty sure I brought it up, but
yeah.
The thing, going back to when we covered that episode, that first episode, is they kind of try to do that. They're like, if you ever see a Spartan, you're already fucking dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're trying to like bring up this mythology, but then when Master Chief and his squad do show up, then everybody just really does die, and you're like, oh, these guys are just terrible at their job, like they don't save anybody, like no. They're literally just killing machines.
Somebody said that the Covenant already called him by like his like boogeyman name and the Covenant. I didn't catch it the first time we watched it, but I guess like they are, so like they already have that, but it's like it doesn't translate
right. And that's the other part of it too. You know you want to talk about like most common denominator, it's like not only have you taken this slice and like thrown it in the middle of like humans learning about the Covenant, like the Outer Rim still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, the Spartans have already had run-ins with the Covenant and already know how to like take care of them and stuff. So it's not even like a mystery. Yeah. Like it could have been like a whole mysterious thing of like, that's how the book was. Like that's how Fall of Reach was it was like, they start going to these planets because like they lose contact with a planet. And so they go there and it's like, it's either glassed or everybody's just gone, and they're just like, what is this? Like, did you ever play Reach? The first mission when you're like, where is everybody in this town?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like something will make a noise, and you're like, fuck, what is that? And you're like in the dark, and that's
and then when like, because I don't remember if that's when they first show, but it's like when you see the first time the elites show up, because they have the hologram and he fucking stabs one of the motherfuckers. Like,
yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah, so like it's another one of those things where it's just they don't know. Whoever's making the decisions and putting the crew together just does not fucking know how to, and I guess they never will. We'll just keep getting this kind of shit forever.
Yeah, like, I think that, you know, you can look at good examples and bad examples. I think, like, The Witcher, while it has its problems, I think, especially the first season, I think really nailed the kind of vibe of, like, they want to tell the story more from the books, but they want to give more of the like aesthetic of the video games, and they kind of had a nice blend of the both and had interesting story. And then they also did their own thing,
but too. Then the second season kind of ruins it because they rushed it, and they were just trying to throw it as quickly together as they could.
So yeah, I don't know. I my biggest thing with like season two of that show was like, it just, like, the pacing was, because, like, the pacing was weird in season one, but, like, they were just, because they were hopping around all the time. Like, they didn't have that excuse with season two because they weren't doing that. They were, like, in real time. And I was like, oh, this is really boring and slow. Like, there's so much, like, stuff that you're just like, I don't even remember half of it because I'm like,
in season one?
Season two.
Oh, yeah.
Season two.
Well, season two decided to go ahead and be season eight of Game of Thrones, where it was just, like, time travel of, like, I know it's supposed to take 2 weeks to get across the country, but mm-hmm. we're there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I think I'm gonna from now on, I'm gonna approach this Resident Evil show with a little bit more, like, open-mindedness. Like, I mean, the first trailer does look bad. The second one, though, looks cool. Like, it's got a bunch of monsters. It looks like it's gonna be action-y. It looks like it's gonna take place in two different timelines, whether it's jumping back and forth, or it's, like, a little bit, you know, at the beginning and then a little bit at the end. I don't know, mm-hmm. obviously, but I think it's weird that they are going with the, like, apocalypse route. I wonder if that means it's going to tie to the Paul W. Anderson movies.
I hope not. I really hope not. I don't know. I'm honestly interested in the show just because, like, I don't know a lot about Resident Evil. Like, I just didn't grow up with it. Like, the most I've learned is when I've started doing this podcast. So, like, the fact that there's a show that's like, you don't have to know any of these characters. These are all new people. You just have, like, and they're going to tell you everything at the beginning. It was like, I'm more open to that because then I don't have to, like, feel like I need to look up stuff as I'm going along, which would be nice. I mean, it still doesn't look like the best show, but
yeah. Yeah, I'll just approach it a little bit more open-minded. And I've seen all the terrible reviews for Welcome to Raccoon City, mm-hmm. and I think I'm more excited to watch it now because I know that it's bad, but it also kind of does look fun.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it's, like, good bad, which would really rely, like, the only, like, game breaker on that would be if the writing is bad, like the dialogue, if it's just mm-hmm. like Aluma Woody, I might freak out. So,
oh my god,
that's really bad, poor writing. Like, that's that's not good.
I have something really funny to tell you after this, by the way.
Oh, thank god.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm hopeful for it, I guess. But
yeah, we'll see. And then I forgot. When we didn't really discuss it during the Sonic episode, but I forgot that the plan is to have the Sonic 3 movie and then also have the Knuckles spinoff show.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's going to be coming up around
the bend. I really hope that the Knuckles show explains who the fuck those humans were at the beginning of that movie. Because ever since Ashley pointed that out, that's always fucking bugged me.
It weirds me out because they look a lot like some of the people from, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm like, is this, like, a crossover? Like, is this truly the multiverse?
They probably just, like, I was like, hey, can we borrow some of your extras for a day? Fucking probably what it was. But I'm just like, ever since that scene was, I'm like, they literally don't. They don't mention it. It makes no sense why these people are human. He doesn't even acknowledge that. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, that is wild. I keep forgetting that happened. I keep forgetting I've seen that movie, though. So. Sure. Yeah, it was a weird.
Yeah, I was looking up showtimes for movies the other day, and I showed up on the thing. I'm like, what the oh, fucking goddamn, that's still out?
Yeah.
That seems like so long ago.
Oh, man. Yeah, why didn't Werewolves Within get this much runtime, you know?
Because it was made by a small indie thing. Like, it was its own little niche thing.
When I was at the store the other day, I found a copy of it. Of the game.
Oh,
and
I talking about the movie.
It was like $15, and I almost bought it, but I was like, I don't have a VR, so there's no point in owning this. But it would have been fun to just be like, look what I have.
That would be you, wouldn't it?
I did that exact thing with the Thing game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sequel to the movie. I totally bought that, just knowing that I wouldn't be able to play it because it doesn't have backwards compatibility. And I was like, I bought it just to have it, and then I let somebody borrow it, and I've never got it back. So, you know. If you learn anything from this podcast, don't let your friends borrow stuff. You'll never see it again.
As I still have your copy of the remake of The Thing.
Yep, you still have still have that. That's ironic. Holy shit. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I saw it this morning, too.
But!
Because I opened it, because it's sitting on top of my... like my pile of like PlayStation games, but like I don't play with like this stuff much anymore. So like, I was like, oh, I should probably bring that back, and then I didn't think to bring it with me.
Nice.
You'll get it back at some point.
One day.
Maybe.
It'll be bequeathed to me in your will. Hi, Ben Anderson. Give Jordan back his DVD. And that's it. That's all you get. God, thanks for coming.
That'd be wild. No acknowledgement, no nothing. Like, oh, God, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I guess the only other kind of like video game movie-esque news or whatever is Evil Dead game came out this week.
Yeah, I haven't touched it yet. I know you played a little bit of it.
Yeah, I played a little bit with Ashley and Kyle, and my rating's still pending at this point. I'm still trying to figure it out. It's an asymmetrical game, killer versus four survivors. Ties real heavy to the original trilogy, so The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. So far, like, it looks really pretty, and it plays all right. I think it's weird because this might be one of the first asymmetrical horror games that I'm not, like, a killer main. I might just focus on Survivor just because I don't think I like the way... It kind of plays like Resident Evil Resistance, which I tried playing that for a little bit when I got Resident Evil 3 Remake, and I did not like that game at all. So, might just stick with being old Army of Darkness Ash and hitting people with a chainsaw and shooting them in the face.
Yeah, I told you this, and I think you said it wasn't, but, like, that game just even looking at the trailer and hearing it a little bit, it just reminded me of, like, the Friday the 13th game from a few years ago, and the way that's set up, where it's more, it is, like, you know, four survivors, one killer, but it's more, like...
Actually, in that one, it's seven survivors and one
is
killer.
Is it seven?
Yeah, God, it's damn. A lot. It's, like, seven or eight. It's a huge number, but to counter that, like, Jason can... insta-kill anybody. Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, you don't get to play for the rest of the game. So it's like, if you die within like 5 minutes, it's a really boring game. So this doesn't feel that boring. How do I explain it? So each character has like, there's different characters and there's a class. And there's an Ash for like every part, right? So Evil Dead 1 Ash is support. He heals and stuff. And Evil Dead 2 Ash is a hunter, so he does more damage with ranged attacks, so with the guns. Army of Darkness Ash is warrior? I forgot what it's called. Where it's like he does melee damage and he's more of the tank. And then there's a leader that has like an aura and gives buffs, and that's the Ash versus the Evil Dead TV show Ash. And then there's a bunch of other characters from all the different movies and shows that are all in there that also fill in those four character slots. And then as you play, your character levels up in the match, and you put points into stats to get better while you're in the game. But then also, outside the game, once it's complete, you gain XP, and you put points into... There's like a huge-ass skill tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you put points into the skill tree to make things better. Like, I mostly played the Army of Darkness Ash, because I like the tank gameplay. And so it's like I do 15% more damage, and then I have like another point and another thing that's like when my health is 95% or above, I get 20% damage increase, or if it's under like 30% damage, like in health, I get 15%. So it's like different things that give me more strength on top of everything else. So there's like this weird multiplicative point system. But there's like so many points in each perks, and then as you level up the character, you also unlock more abilities that, like, you know, once you get to like level 25, you do more damage with chainsaws and stuff. So I don't know. It feels like a game that, like, if you try to get into it late, you're going to have a bad time because you're going to be super underleveled compared to, like, and it's the same thing with the killer side of things, but they have like enemy units that they can summon. And so the more points they put into that, you know, Army of Darkness, the stronger they become. So, like, if you're a level 1 going against, like, a level 30, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel like that's the same thing that I had with Resistance. Is it was like I got into it, like, a year and a half late. And so I'm going against level 200 killers, and I'm level 1 going, I don't know what door to go through. And they're just like... Well, here's the strongest monsters you've ever had to fight. and you're just like, pew, pew. And then it's just like plinking off of them, and then they just punch you in the stomach, and half your health is gone. You're just Jesus. Like, teammates, help me! And then all your team has scattered, and they're actually doing all the objectives because they know what to do.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, please, please save me! And they're just like, what? That's not how you play the game. You just save yourself, buddy. And you're just like, oh god! All and right. That's what this is going to be. I think this is going to be one of those where, if you know, you know, and if you don't, well, it sucks to be you, I suppose. So. I don't know. Rating right now, I'll just put it at a solid 7.
I mean, that's not bad. It's actually pretty good for most things.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
It's got the Friday the 13th flair of it, like, looking very much like the movies. Mm-hmm. Just like Predator Hunting Grounds, too. It's like, the aesthetic of the games, very pleasing. Gameplay, probably could have used another year of, like, beta testing. And
I also think it's weird that, like, the fact that this game even came out to begin with, because it feels like Evil Dead is such a, like, more niche thing to begin with. Like,
I think it's growing more and more. Like, it's always kind of been an occult movie, but it's getting more and more reference as time goes on, just because Raimi himself is so prolific.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
And probably a good time to do it now, too, with having Multiverse of Madness out and having, like...
Yeah, I guarantee that was probably done on purpose.
Yeah, it's... If anything else, seeing that movie and the tiny little nods to Evil Dead, you're like, cool, this works. So, I don't know.
That's cool. I mean, it is only 40, which is a lot, but for most games nowadays, like, you know, it's not terrible.
Not only is it just 40, but... Any version you buy of it is also, like, next-gen upgradable for free.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's 40.
Is it crossplay too?
Yes. So it covers Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
I'm curious.
And if you buy it on PS4, even disc version, like digital or disc, it says free upgrade. So no matter what, no matter how you purchase it, you're going to get the better version of it too. So... That's pretty good when other PS5 games are $70 and you're getting this one for $40.
I mean, yeah, that is really good. I'm curious. Okay, no. I thought it might have been on Game Pass, but it's not.
It's. I think right now it's only on Epic Store is the PC way to play it is mm-hmm. Epic Store.
Yeah. A lot of people are thinking it's probably going to show up on Game Pass at some point, but...
Well, it does feel like it's going to be like a PS Plus game in like 6 months. So.
Yeah. That's how most of those games tend to go.
Pretty much. All right. Well, just a fun little chat about Resident Evil, Halo, and Master Chief getting his nuts emptied.
Sucked. I don't know why. Goddamn.
Yours is so vulgar.
just, oh man, that was fucking.
Sucked. These nuts sucked.
God damn it.
Alright.
Alright, man.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Alright. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
We'll be back in touch soon. Might be a little bit iffy for the next couple weeks just because, you know, we had a couple of college graduates, you know? Couple of friends, couple of podcasters.
Couple people you may know.
They had to go and finish school without us.
They left me and Jordan behind. We're stuck just looking, gazing off into the distance.
And I can't wait to also wave Ben off as he leaves me. In the dust.
I still got a little more time.
While I just Van Wilder my way through this.
God damn it. Yeah, so congrats, Tyler and Ashley. We're happy for you. We hate you. We're sad to see you go. Happy to see what you're going to do in the future. All that stuff. They're not dead.
And they're not leaving the podcast either.
No. They're just not here currently.
Yeah, they're just not here. But because it's summertime and, you know, they've moved on to adulting. It might be a little bit... Might not be as many minis in the future. We'll see. Maybe there'll be more minis. I don't know.
It's going to be more.
It'll be whatever's easiest to get.
But we're not going anywhere. You will still have content.
Just like the amount of years I've put into college, I'm here for life, I suppose. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and what do you think of Resident Evil Netflix?
You think it's going to be good?
Okay, one more thing, though. The second trailer when it's talking about the drug, that's like an antidepressant that's supposed to help with like ADD and all this stuff. And I was just like, God, like, of course the thing that's supposed to like cure the everything that's wrong with my brain also turns you into a zombie.
Also, like the trailer gave me like religious PTSD because they used the song Joy, Joy, Joy Down in My Heart, which is a children's church like Bible school song. And I was like, God, I haven't heard that in years. Why is this here?
I don't know.
I mean, it fits the aesthetic, but like, goddamn, it was a blast from the past.
All right. Well, bye. Bye.